So this is Ian Mays with the KNYO Video Project and Common Ground Relief Media. I'm here in New Orleans in the Termite and Vine Artist and Musician Homestead Association. I guess that's the name it goes by.
This is the Termite and Vine Artists and Musicians Homesteaders Association. Collective Cooperative Association.
Yes, and I'm interviewing...
A registered Louisiana nonprofit.
I'm interviewing Lastetta Picarella, one of the founders and guiding forces with this organization. So
that is correct, Ian. It's lovely to be here with you on the show today.
Could you explain some for our listeners, many of which are in California and other places, not New Orleans, not familiar with this project, what exactly is Termite and Vine?
Well, to put it bluntly, and I'm talking to someone from Common Ground, so it's all right. Just as Common Ground was originally a bunch of anarchists hooking up with the Black Panthers, Termite and Vine originally started as a home for burnt-out Common Ground volunteers. We are a 4,800-square-foot, 24-room, rotting barn of a house located on a lot 30 feet wide and 159 feet, 11 inches and 4 lines, long between parallel lines bounded by certain streets with all domestic rights and servitudes, and we also own the airspace above us, apparently, according to our documents.
Could you say some about, like, the intentions and values behind this this place?
Mostly in November, after doing Hurricane Katrina work, November 2005, after coming down and working for Hurricane Katrina, doing cleanups, gutting houses, tarping roofs, running electrical stuff, and mostly just moving boxes of supplies around, I completely lost it and went mental, and had to get away and had to get out of the organization, had to get out of doing aid work with a lot of frustrations and stuff that was going on, and, this neighborhood, 7th Ward, was, you know, there's what, maybe like 30,000 people in 7th Ward, and we were down to like, you know, one house, and like one house every 10 blocks was populated. The entire neighborhood was just gone. The power was out, and a friend of mine had been trying to buy this house from the city before the flood, so I just moved the hell on into it. And the windows were all destroyed. It had been a crackhead squat for years. It had also been completely damaged by the flood. We had 4 feet of water right here. So, and we have just 28 years of accumulated termite damage. And I began fixing the place up. And just, you know, it was a weird place to live. And other kids who I'd worked with at different disaster relief projects in New Orleans kept asking me if they could move in with me, and I was like, yeah, totally. And gradually it slid into more and more kids who are traveler kids who travel around like almost the entire year, riding freight trains and bumming rides around the country. I wound up just accumulating all the kids who work mostly in the quarter playing and busking. So most of the kids who live here now are all, like, buskers and musicians, a couple of different visual artists. And most of them make their living by busking or working odd service industry jobs, delivering food or whatever. And that wound up being the population of this place. About a year ago, the National Guard came by and asked us what we were all doing in this abandoned house living here and threw us out. So I went through a lengthy bunch of fights with everyone from the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority to the, City Hall, the police, the National Guard. I had some Common Ground lawyers, and we got the house back. And we are lined up to own this house, and we're going to, we started a nonprofit. We're going to own the house between... I don't know exactly how we're going to divvy it up yet, but a couple of us are going to own it together and agree to pay a certain amount of money into it every year. And there will always be room here open for just other traveling musician friends of ours. And anyone who doesn't buy into the house when we like actually go in and own it on paper, well, they can rent the room for $50 a month.
Yeah, I saw there's a website with like a manifesto and all that for the Termite and Vine, and I guess one of the things that struck me is like there seems to be a philosophy or intention to, I think it's phrased as rethinking the house, like rethinking what it means to meet the need for shelter and housing and all that. I was wondering if you can explain some about that.
Sure thing. Rethinking the house is actually a more long-term project of mine, and what it is rethinking the house is just like a hugely formless, multifaceted project. It actually has precedent in a lot of other people who have worked on this. I couldn't name any names for you off the top of my head, but on one hand, just doing experiments with living space and how becoming very conscious of how one's living space and one's life influence each other. Because you are, how you live is influenced by where you live very strongly. Like, we've lived at Termite and Vine, like, we have a fairly happy amount of amenities right now. We're just getting our stove and our hot water heater put in this week. But there was a time we had no electricity, no plumbing, no toilet, and, we sat around in the dark a lot, cooking on, like, a fire in a can and shitting in a bucket. And it's interesting just to see the different ways you live when you're, like, you know, forced to live in different ways. Additionally, though, it's also an experiment for... we do experimental construction here. We're trying to completely rebuild the house and get it back up to a minimum residential standards code with entirely recycled materials, or predominantly recycled materials. I'm allowed to buy stuff. And what else? it's a whole bunch of things. Like, we did some other experiments. Like, me and some of the kids here worked on building a tiny house in someone's yard earlier this year. We managed to build a teeny tiny house. Like, it was a little shack with a little loft bed in it and a sink and little windows. And had, like, a little loft storage thing, and it was really cute. Unfortunately, the people who owned the property evicted us and tore it down. We managed to build a tiny house for $12.
So one of the big issues here in New Orleans is the issue of housing, whether it be, like, you know, the people's houses that are destroyed by the hurricane and flood, or public housing which is shut down and is being threatened to be torn down. Lots of homelessness and rents skyrocketing and all that. I was wondering if you see, like, the experiments and the attempts at the Rethinking the House project and the ideas behind that, if that has any applicability for, like, the plight of all these people with their housing needs.
As far as Rethinking the House is actually a different experiment where, you know, I'm teaching kids to, like, renovate, and we do renovation Skillshare, and I, like, show people that you can renovate a house with no, like, money or materials. But, you know, predominantly I'm focusing on my friends who are all these busker kids, and I'm not really set up to take that anywhere else. What I am planning to do, though, is I'm trying to do put together a workshop on homesteading right now. And we've got a couple of publications that I've put together that I haven't gotten around to printing yet, but I'm going to make some publications available at Iron Rail, which are just guides to homesteading in New Orleans. Because of all the states, this is one of the easiest states to get yourself cheap housing in. what we have at Termite is the owner of the house died in just before Katrina, and the house has been, he defaulted on his taxes in 1978 and racked up over $100,000 in taxes on this house, and he owned a bunch of other properties too, which are sitting in the same state as us. But he was adjudicated on his taxes, the building was condemned in 2002, and the owner died in 2005. So technically the reason we have this building now is because After the flood, no one owned this building. No one's really owned this building for years, and crackheads have been staying in here, and kids have been throwing rocks through the windows. And there's thousands of buildings in that state in this town. I'm not talking about buildings that people lived in before the flood that are now destroyed, but I'm talking about buildings that have been, like, abandoned even before the flood, or, you know, buildings that went through the flood and the owners never came back and have left. In Louisiana, it's easier than in any other state, pretty much, to take possession of a building. There's the squatter's rights laws, or what you're talking about, and in Louisiana, squatter's rights are in Civil Code, Title 9, Section 5633, and that's a recent revised statute that enables, which lays it down as that if you find a house that is, you know, adjudicated for taxes and blighted, you can go through a procedure to send out notifications to the former owner and all adjoining properties and register at City Hall. The process costs about $300, and then you earn the right to take that property, renovate it, and once you've renovated it back up to passing the minimum housing standards code and dealt with the back taxes, you own that property outright. And we're almost at a point where we're going to pass the building inspection. We're hoping for the spring, and after that we just have to settle the taxes, which we know we won't have to pay $100,000. We're pretty sure we can talk the city down to 10, or they might forgive it entirely because we're a non-profit organization now. I work very hard to, like, raise a lot of awareness about that, and I mostly people, like, in the same sort of scene you see here of, like, traveling kids, artists, and just assorted wing nuts come to me for information about that. We're partnered with there's a couple other homesteader projects in this town that, we're sort of friends with, and we, like, share tools and resources and help each other out with stuff. And, yeah, I'm trying to make some more information available about this. New Orleans Redevelopment Authority used to administer, I gotta say very nice things about New Orleans Redevelopment Authority, even though a lot of people say bad things about them in the newspaper and stuff these days. I'm gonna say very nice things about New Orleans Redevelopment Authority because we still need them. And, I'm gonna have to, you know, I still have to beg New Orleans Redevelopment Authority for things. But, fucking phone ringing. New Orleans Redevelopment Authority used to they used to publish a bunch of pamphlets about how to do this properly, and that's how I learned how to do this, actually, because I've managed to get a hold of their information. But, it's because of Nora that we have this house. However, Nora really, you know, they won't help people do this right now. You know, Nora is an agency that was created. Where were they created? 95? It's written in Louisiana Civil Code that the institution of New Orleans Redevelopment Authority should be created, and they originally had a contract with the city to get rid of 100 blighted properties every year by selling them or getting people to fix them. They hold auctions. Sometimes they sell properties for as little as $1,000. But lately they're not really giving them out to individuals anymore. They're trying to give them mostly to developers. There's been a lot of information on that in the Times-Picayune lately, and Nora's been coming under fire a little bit lately, because right now they're looking at expropriating. They did this big sweep of the city in the early spring where they, you can look this up in the Times-Picayune. Nora did a sweep of the city in the early spring and, like, tried to, they grabbed up a few thousand properties on their blighted properties list and gave them to 24 different developers. For the developers to go, like, you know, clean up 2,400 properties and improve the city a bit. However, when the developers got a hold of the properties, the titles weren't clear, and some of the properties were, like, there was property under the I-10. One developer found out he'd been awarded a property that was 30 feet by 2 feet. And then when they went to quiet title, like, they had to send notices to all the former property holders, and over 20% of them showed up and demanded their property back and paid off their fines. And I've had a meeting with Nora about the Termite and Vine Project and actually sat in there and, like, talked to them and tried to ask them for help. And their sort of stance is that they don't want to see individual homesteaders. They want to sort of, like, favor developers more because they feel that, you know, the city actually, I think there's actually quotes from the city attorney and the head code inspectors in the Times-Picayune articles from June where they said that, you know, they were sad to see 20% of people who own their houses come and take them back again, because what Nora is saying is that these people aren't fixing up their houses. They're just doing the bare minimum to get their houses to pass the inspection and leaving them at that. And, you know, those are just the facts. I don't have an opinion on that.
So I'm wondering, what have been some of the greatest challenges for, like, you and other homesteaders here in New Orleans?
Well, number one would be, the National Guard throwing us out of here back in March. The National Guard are now actually totally our friends. We've learned a lot about them. They have, like, there's 20 different agents, per shift patrolling our neighborhood at any good time. We know about half of them now. Because they've come by, they've seen our paperwork, and, like, we tested, like, you know, originally, actually, I talked, when we got thrown out here at first, I went to the police and talked to the police about squatters' rights, and, like, showed her, look, it's, here's the law, it's right here in Louisiana law books. And she said that, my police chief told me it was not her responsibility to interpret civil code, and that, if she pushed me about it, she'd gladly, like, make us go to court and prove our case before a judge and have to ask a judge to honor our rights for us. But, you know, we've since really improved our relationship with the guard and the police, and we found now that they're actually, like, you know, honoring this right, which is important, because, you know, there've been a lot of, I've worked on homesteader projects before, mostly in Pittsburgh. And there have been a lot of, and all over the country, a lot of homesteaders face problems where people just aren't interested in, you know, allowing squatters' rights to work out properly. People will challenge you on it and drag you into court just because, you know, this is a house full of kids who don't have jobs. They all, like, go down, sit on the sidewalk all day and play guitars, violins, fiddles, and accordions and stuff. And we also have to be very conscious of the fact that, you know, this house is about, like, the people working at Termite are about 85% white, and we're mostly, like, young, weird, artsy kids, and we've moved into a neighborhood that's, like, this part of Seven Ward is mostly, like, it's about 98% black, and it's all people who've lived here for generations. And our neighborhood's actually been really nice to us. Most of the people who live around us are older families. Like, this is a pretty tight-knit neighborhood. It's families. Like, we've made friends with a lot of people. And, you know, about two blocks away, there's, like, a giant hip-hop club where people drive up and down the street shooting guns out of their windows in the summer, but, you know, around here it's little kids and old people who've worked all their lives. And we made good with that. The most important thing in, like, you know, the most important thing in homesteading is neighbor relations. And after that, it's making the front of your building look nice so it doesn't look like a public health threat. We did focus on that, actually. Like, we passed, like, when city inspectors were trying to condemn buildings, when that whole deal I was talking about, the developers went down, the city lost, like, 495 properties to, you know, homeowners coming and taking their houses back. So Nora went into overdrive and did this huge campaign to try and condemn as many buildings that hadn't been cleaned up from the flood as possible so they could give them to the developers. And they just had a meeting at City Hall last week about that. I couldn't go because I had to work. But, yeah, they just had a meeting to say that, you know, they have 7,000 homes they've expropriated now. And they're trying to figure out what to do with them. So yeah, negotiating with the law, like we've been completely, you know, our neighbors love us, and the hardware store certainly loves us because we're there all the freaking time. They know me now.
So what would you say have been like some of the biggest like accomplishments that you and other New Orleans homesteaders have had?
People are really excited about us because we've worked. Like, we've been here for 2 years, and, like, a lot of homestead projects either, you know, it's easy to get, because the laws are so gray in a lot of ways, like, it's easy to get shut down, or, you know, if you don't fit into your neighborhood properly and make friends with your neighborhood, you can get shut down. And, you know, it's a huge project. This building is really ready to fall down, and a lot was when we moved in. Like, all the windows were smashed out. It had sat in 4 feet of water for, like, a month, and termites had eaten out a central part of the support structure of the house. As a matter of fact, we still haven't finished fixing it yet, and you can still see from our ground floor a huge area where just the house is staying up for no logical reason. We nailed up some temporary support stuff. What's also really good is I've created a really good, we have a killer little family here. We've, managed to just attract a bunch of kids, and like, this project has been like me having my friends come here, and then my friends bring their friends here. And we've had like, I don't know, 50 to 80 residents total, like, or can't really say residents, but we've had 50 to 80 orphans working here at any given over the entire time. Usually our population's around 15. And yeah, we've just made a really killer little family for ourselves of, like, you know, everybody here is an artist and musician, like, full time. And you know, I work 3 days a week in a restaurant, but I want the rest of the time free to, like, you know, work on my house, work on my own projects, work on art, and travel around and play with my friends and have fun. And that's the same like-mindedness that all the kids here share. So the thing is, like, you know, making housing for ourselves that, you know, we get to own, and, you know, no one here is ever going to pay more than $2 a day rent, or, like, it really creates a great environment where we can just, like, hang out, enjoy each other's company, and work on projects. And a lot of kids here are working on, like, really keen different things.
A general theme throughout this series of interviews here is rebuilding a more just and sustainable New Orleans. I was wondering what thoughts that you have on how this can happen.
Well, after we do this, we're going to be doing this again. Like, we're working on some projects with other people. We're networking with other homesteader collectives. And we intend to keep doing this. And I'm working on the series of books and the series of... I haven't really written my homesteading... I'm working on a... The houses work on a homesteading guide. They're going to be putting out eventually, but right now we're just going to be stocking some resources at the Iron Rail, and I lend stuff out to people. And what I hope to do is, like, part of us, like, incorporating as a nonprofit last month is that as a nonprofit, it gives us more bargaining power with the city, because we have to, you know, we still have to go into City Hall and talk to the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority and show them that we're rehabilitating this house, and then ask for them to forgive our huge tax debt. And once we're a nonprofit, they'll, like, you know, because we're now a nonprofit, that gives us more bargaining power with asking for, like, reduction of tax debt and asking for the, like, documents to be filed for us to, like, put claims on buildings. So, you know, as a nonprofit, once we really get rolling on that, we don't have our 501c status yet, but we're looking for that. Once we have that, we can. I want to start umbrelling other people's homesteading projects for them to get their taxes forgiven, and I want to, because You know, honestly, a lot of these kids, like, if they weren't living here, they'd be living in some other abandoned building. And if you get caught living in an abandoned building, if you live in abandoned buildings, you can wind up living with no facilities or amenities at all. You wind up living in the dark. You can wind up living with, like, bums and junkies and fall into that. Or you can find yourself, like, rudely awakened by, like, uniformed authority figures with guns to your head who will put you in a tiny cement room for a couple of days. Mess up your stuff. I've seen it happen a lot of times to a lot of my friends. And I've had friends, like, even in houses pretty close to termite, get, like, thrown out and lose everything they had. But, you know, I want to help, you know, what we're doing here is, like, we don't, you know, it's easy for a bunch of kids to get together, form an organization, and own their own building together, and then never really have to worry too much about rent ever again, and just be free to do their thing. And we can help other homesteads work on that, and, like, I can show other people my resources. I can give other people resources for this and the information that we have. And we'll be flowering eventually. We'll be pyramid scheming. This is all a pyramid scheme. We're going to take more buildings, and basically we're going to stage an anarcho-capitalist takeover of the city. And in a couple of years, like, nobody will be paying more than $2 a day rent. And that's my plan.
Cool. So, yeah, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this interview and thank our listeners and signing off.
It was wonderful to be on the show today. I'm a long-time listener.